ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President-elect Trump's legal team maneuvering to try to make sure Special Counsel Jack Smith's final reports on Trump's alleged hiding of classified documents and trying to interfere with Georgia's election are never made public. ABC's Aaron Katursky with more.
Special Counsel Jack Smith, as all special counsels do, is preparing a report about his findings, and now Trump and his co-defendants are trying to block its release. Overnight, Smith said he's working to finalize his report about Trump's handling of classified documents, and the Attorney General is deciding what to publicly release.
Trump's lawyers also requested that his hush money conviction in New York be thrown out. The judge in that case refused. Facebook and Instagram CEO Mark Zuckerberg of Meta posting on video today saying fact checkers on the social media sites will be replaced with a community notes system similar to what's on X. Two bodies found in the landing gear section of a plane that landed in Fort Lauderdale from New York City last night. Police don't know why or how the two men ended up there. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The New Lisbon Police Department has issued an update on the homicide investigation that occurred last week. The department continues to work with other agencies within Wisconsin, as well as the Federal Bureau of Investigation and U.S. Marshal Service. They continue to investigate the whereabouts of Virgil Thu. The last confirmed sighting of Thu was New Year's Day near Orange Road and McEwen Road in Lisbon Township. The last known vehicle Thu was known to have had has been recovered by the local law enforcement. Virgil Thu currently has an arrest warrant issued through Juneau County for 3 counts of first-degree intentional homicide and a warrant through Wisconsin probation and parole. Thu is described as a white male, 47 years of age, with brown hair and blue eyes, weighing 160 pounds and 5'11". He also has a 1-inch long scar on his forehead. Virgil Thu should be considered armed and dangerous. If you see him, do not confront or approach him, but contact 911. Governor Tony Evers wants to give Wisconsin voters more power by requiring the legislature to create a statewide binding referendum process. The Democratic governor said he'll propose that when he releases his 2-year state budget. Evers said Republicans in the legislature are ignoring voters on issues such as restoring abortion access, legalizing and taxing marijuana, and others. Those same Republican lawmakers who continue to hold majorities in the Senate and Assembly would need to approve the plan, which Evers will include in his proposed state budget. The governor will deliver his budget message on February 18th. Under the process outlined by Evers, voters would be able to file petitions with the Wisconsin Elections Commission to hold a vote on proposed state laws or constitutional amendments or to repeal state laws. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Packers lose Christian Watson. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur confirmed that wide receiver Christian Watson could be out a year after suffering a torn ACL and other damage to his right knee during Sunday's game against the Bears. Up next, the Packers face the Eagles next Sunday in the wild card playoffs. Running back Josh Jacobs.
Everything is on the line. You know, it's no real do-overs. It's no flush last week. It's no none of that. It's, you know, execute when the times that they got to make a play or whatever. That's what we're going to look forward to try to do. You know, this whole week.
Men's college basketball, the Badgers with another nice Big Ten conference win, 75-63 at Rutgers. In the NBA, after losing 4 of their last 5, the Bucks beat the Raptors in Toronto, 128-104. Bobby Portis with 20 points. Damian Lillard led with 25.
Being physical, making them work offensively, the communication, helping each other, gang rebounding. Those are all things we can control.
That's the Bucks. Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mix of sun and clouds today and a high in the mid-20s. Partly cloudy tonight, lows 5 to 10 above. And partly sunny for tomorrow, a high around 20. Mostly sunny in mid-20s Thursday, some flurries late. Currently, it's 6.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
it? No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattner and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, some Republicans don't seem very enthusiastic about continuing to fund the IRS. Why would that be? We'll kick that around. Join us.
Mattner on air, weekday mornings at 10. News from the center, WRCE.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. As always, you can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. Better weather this morning. The sun was actually out.
Yeah, not only was the sun up, the snow is not as bad as it was yesterday when, you know. What they got 4 or 5 inches of snow here yesterday.
Yeah, no, the Racine got quite a lot, but they've done a pretty good job cleaning it up.
Yeah, they really did, man. So, I wore my boots again today because I saw how much snow we had yesterday. I just assumed there's going to be all this snow that we've got to trek through, and there's none in Milwaukee. But
are these goulashes?
No, not.
Are these the kind that, are these the kind that buckle up? Remember as a kid, you'd have the buckle up rubber boots?
Hey, Sandy, you're aging yourself. I don't know if they still make goulashes. I wonder if Calvin knows what goulashes are. Calvin, you know what goulashes are?
I've definitely heard of the term. But I've never
sounds
had
like it sounds like some kind of German pasta.
So goulashes were these rubber boots that were big enough that you can put over your shoes and you buckle them up. Sandy, I'm sure they probably still make them.
They were pretty useful.
They were.
There was deep snow.
Yes.
You could just, and then you'd put them in the coat hall in the classroom coat hall.
Yes.
Filled with these rubber boots.
Well,
dripping snow on all the clothes.
Well, especially for guys, professionals, attorneys and people like you who are moving around, and you could put them over your dress shoes and put your pants inside of them, so your pants, legs. It was a great invention, right?
Let's back to the future.
Yeah, goulashes. Only Sandy Williams could come up with goulashes. But I remember them well. They just disappeared. I don't know. The need for them still exists, right?
And actually, the fancier ones had a zipper, which was a little harder to get up. The buckles were cumbersome, but pretty easy to close.
If you're just joining us, that's my co-host, Sandy Williams. And, Sandy, there are different people who join us all the time. So just a little bit about who Sandy Williams is.
He's a guy that knows what goulashes were. Which is probably the most interesting thing I can have to say to
you. Well, you spent some time. You're an attorney. You're an economist. You're You're a husband.
A charlatan.
Yeah.
No, but you know the I've enjoyed 6 years about working with you on the radio.
Has it been 6 years?
I've had 5 years. Yeah. Wow. Has. I think we started in 2018.
Wow.
At least that was when I first appeared on your show. Yeah, it's been a while, and so it's been enjoyable. But you give an attorney a microphone, and he'll tell you what he thinks.
Well, yeah, but you're more than an attorney. You certainly spent some time up in Madison, and
well, you know, I had a lucky career. I ended up being in the midst of public policy. Lots of my practice involved the electric industry, which is a policy-ridden industry. It involves finance. I was trained in economics and finance in school and law and business. So, yeah, I've had a range of experiences, which I guess allows me to at least develop some opinions.
Yeah. So when people say, hey, that guy's always giving his opinion on things, well, at least you've got some credibility in. Because we talk about some really, as we're going to do today, some really involved subjects, nationally, internationally, and you have some background in those things, and so that you know, when people are saying that guy's always talking about it, what does he know?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
And they're not talking about Donald Trump. You know, we're talking about Sandy Williams. Anyway.
Anyway. Yeah, I don't want to be in the same breath, quite frankly.
So I want to finish up the thing about the goulashes. You just look, you bring this up. Goulashes also were great for rainy days in the spring.
Yeah. And although in the spring you could go to rubbers.
Oh yeah, rubbers. I remember rubbers, the rubbers.
Which were, covered the things you could just pull onto your shoes, kept your dress shoes from getting wet. So you know there was always something you could put on your feet. This was stuff that was dreamed up by guys who shine shoes.
You know, basically. All those things have disappeared. They probably still exist, but can you think about how mass manufactured those things were? At a given point in time, they made a lot of money.
Well, my kids are middle aged now, and they had them when they were little. So you know, this has happened in the last 40 years. The X generation had them, and after X, I think they disappeared. So,
but the need for them, so what replaced them?
Wet feet.
Okay. you're right. I don't have any of those things. So if I have on a pair of dress shoes, and it's really ridiculous. You pay all this money for dress shoes, and they're leather, and the soles are leather, and you walk out, and the water kind of does a number on.
You're going to have to explain to some people what dress shoes are, Earl. It's like if you use the word suit. You know, that would be something that would require a bit of explanation as well.
You know, dress shoes happen to be the kind of things you used to wear when you went to church. You know, and your Sunday go-to meeting clothes.
Lots of us wore them every day to work.
Right.
You know?
Well, you did, you know, but you know, I said dress shoes because, you know, the type of work I did, I didn't need dress shoes, but clearly on the weekends, I would
actually
put
those
on a
of
pair.
Us, many of us who wore dress shoes to work were accused of working in the silk stocking industry. but none of us wore silk stockings, so I don't know what the deal was with that.
You know, dress shoes, that term is, I mean, how many people even know? Hey, you just said we'd have to explain what that is. So yesterday, as I was up in Madison, and I was invited to the swearing in of the 2025 Senate. And so it was, Sandy, it was cold yesterday, right? So so I had to walk several blocks to get to the state house. And my ankles and my feet were frozen. I could have used some galoshes yesterday.
We've hit on something. You know, this is like Friday. Bill from EconoWalk hit on this idea for an app that would allow people to register their opinions on major issues and do it on a real-time basis across the country. I think that's genius. I'm not sure this goulash thing is necessarily genius, but
I didn't say it was genius, but they would have helped yesterday. I mean, it's still a need for that.
That's what I'm saying. I think we should open a shop.
You know, it wouldn't be a bad idea. You know, retroactive, maybe, Sandy, we could look at retroactive inventions.
Back to the future.
Back to the future. Yes.
Yeah.
That probably even still to this day, you know, because, you know, people don't know about them, probably have some practical purposes even today. Like radio, maybe, right? Like maybe radio.
Yeah, exactly. Radio. We are in Back to the Future.
But listen, we've got so many different things that we're going to cover and talk about today. It is Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you. Sandy, it's going to be... It's going to be cold, they say, for most of January. And
well,
so,
in fact, I've got this ice rink that I'm, and now, you know, the big thaw we had actually saved it. Mother Nature ends up being a good ice rink steward. It all melted. Now it's frozen. And my AccuWeather app tells me that there are 45 straight days forecast where the temperature doesn't go above freezing. So
we've
got real winter.
Hey, Calvin, did you really want to hear that, what Sandy just said? He just really broke the hearts of guys like you and me.
Yeah, you know, I can handle the cold as long as the snow stays away. So hopefully we'll cross our fingers for no precipitation.
How many straight days?
Well, mine said 45 days.
No.
You can get a 45, but, you know, who knows how accurate a forecast is. I'm pretty sure that after about 10 days, the forecast just reverts to average.
Yeah, well, they weren't projecting Arctic cold that, you know, that you normally get that would come down and sub-zero stuff, just winter temperatures, right? I mean, that we would expect this time of year.
This is like standard winter. This is like the winter you and I remember. This is as it should be, except I, for one, would hope for a little bit of snow. What the hell? I mean, as long as you're going to have cold, you might as well have something to recreate on. Sledding, cross-country skiing, snowmobiling for some.
So I got to tell Calvin this. Calvin, so I was in Madison yesterday with Al Holmes, who always calls and says, I love the cold weather. I love the cold weather, right? You hear him, Calvin. The cold weather I love. Oh, I love the cold weather.
Yeah, he called up yesterday and was saying it.
Yeah, but when we were walking over to the Capitol, he didn't look like some guy who loves the cold.
As you get older, it's a little harder to stay warm in cold weather. And Al's been around the block a couple of times.
So I call him out on it. I said, hey, man, you're always calling, talking about you love the cold weather. I'm looking at you right now. Uh-huh. Hey, you can't wait to get out of this. But anyway.
Put your mittens where your mouth is.
Listen, we got a lot to talk about when we're going to talk about Elon Musk next. And really, I don't think, Sandy, people really understand what is taking place with this man. And I will say to you and the audience that we wouldn't be talking about Elon Musk if Donald Trump didn't give him entree into our government. But he's there. And he's a guy who's going to make some noise. He's the proverbial bull in the china shop. Next up on a Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. zip lining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from, with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Miles and miles of freshly groomed cross-country and hiking trails. Ski, sled, snowshoe. Warm up at our indoor water park. ChulaVistaResort.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The beginning of the year means a new session for the Wisconsin State Legislature. Members of the State Senate and State Assembly were sworn into office on Monday, January 6th. There are a lot of new faces in that group, with 6 new members in the State Senate and 31 new representatives in the State Assembly. While Republicans will remain in the majority, that majority is now the smallest it has been in more than a decade. The days of the GOP's supermajority are over. After last year's elections under new, fairer maps, we'll see if those smaller majorities lead to more compromise in a legislature that's been dominated by the right for nearly 15 years. Just a handful of seats make the difference now between a Republican and Democratic majority, and there are many more opportunities now to bring accountability to legislators, especially those in competitive districts. And in a healthy democracy, that's the way things should be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You know, I remember this. I don't remember the name of it, but I remember.
Well, it's Fanfare for the Common Man by an American composer of the early 20th century, Aaron Copland. But the music I've selected today was actually curated by one of my heroes, Barack Obama. And he curated this music for his inauguration in 2008. So... there's an inauguration coming up, and I decided to pick music from one that I was probably happier about.
All right, 855-752-4842 is my co-host, Sandy Williams. And you, Sandy, I want to read a couple paragraphs of this story, and then we'll get right into the conversation about Elon Musk. This is in today's Washington Post. Middle East real estate tycoon palling with Trump and Musk in Florida. As President-elect Donald Trump prepares to take office, a steady stream of billionaires and well-connected special interest figures have been lining up to meet with or ingratiate themselves to him, as exemplified by the string of tech companies contributing to his inauguration fund. But there's one particular entity whose presence at Mar-a-Lago alongside Trump and his big tech ally, Elon Musk, is striking, reported. Hassan Sawani's presence at Trump's New Year's Eve party was not surprising. He and his family have attended it in previous years, including in 2017 when Trump called them the most beautiful people in Dubai. According to the Associated Press, they have maintained strong business connections with Trump's organizations through projects in the United Arab Emirates and returning to form Rote Slovenia, showed off a picture with the president-elect and Musk from New Year's Eve celebration in his Instagram page. Sandy.
And this is what this is oligarchy in action, right? This is what an oligarchy looks like. This is when people of great wealth, by dint of their wealth, get great access and control over government. And Elon Musk obviously has the greatest wealth in the world, but he's flexing his wealth muscle directly in American policy, and not just in American policy, but he's trolling the Prime Minister of England, insulting the Prime Minister of England. He's gotten himself involved with the far right party in Germany with his Media X company and constant involvement there. And here in the United States, a part of his great wealth is from several companies, Starlink, which is the satellite infrastructure for our intelligence, among other things, and SpaceX, whose primary contracts, other than putting up the satellites for Starlink, is with the federal government. And then his electric vehicle business is very dependent on public policy, and he's already flexed his muscle there. And he's heavily involved with cryptocurrency. And we've seen already the announcements by the incoming president and his about what he intends to do about cryptocurrency, an area where both Elon Musk and the Trump family stand to make a great deal of money based on their public involvement in cryptocurrencies. So we see people with great wealth at the not just the elbow of the president. Elon Musk is renting a cabin immediately adjacent to Mar-a-Lago and is spending his days and nights right there with the president. And he's announced his intention to spend millions of dollars, or even his billions of dollars, he said, to unseat any senator who has the temerity to vote against any of the nominations for the cabinet that Trump has. I mean, this is oligarchy openly and notoriously. This is the influence of money, not at cocktail parties or not privately, but publicly and openly. And I think the American public should be very concerned about it. I think Elon Musk has shown a great deal of will to exercise with his money a great deal of political power. And he clearly is capable of buying his way into a position of great influence. He already has.
So, Sandy, I will say, and our phone lines are open at 855-752-4842. Elon Musk didn't just appear out of the thin air. Elon Musk has been around. He's doing what he's doing now because Donald Trump brought him to the precipice.
Well, you know, I'm not sure. You know, Donald Trump, did he invited him in? Or did Elon Musk buy his way?
Well,
Elon
Sandy,
Musk started giving money to Donald Trump in the extreme. He apparently contributed well over $270 million to this last campaign. He continues to flood his money into the political process. I mean, I'm not sure who's, in fact, more dependent on one than the other, the president or Elon Musk. But they have this currently symbiotic relationship where Elon Musk can flex his muscle, his policy muscle, as he sees fit, and Donald Trump seems to abide.
I don't see he could not impact the federal government even with all his money if he didn't have somebody who can open the door for him to get there.
No question.
Because he had the money before, and with Joe Biden, he couldn't get in to do that. Donald Trump brought him in.
Well, that's true.
Even though he spent $200 million, that's still no reason. We need to look at the guy who opened the door and gave Elon Musk this opportunity, man.
Well, the fact is, though, that Donald Trump has a long history of opening doors for people who provide him with a great deal of money. And so, you know, that's why I think the real problem for even conservatives is that Donald Trump is for sale. Policies are for sale.
But we know that.
We know it because it's open and notorious, but I think the American public has to wake up and stop giving a pass to somebody who operates shamelessly or openly and notoriously, and simply because it isn't a quiet conspiracy, we let it happen.
But they just voted for him, and it's 4 years of this, Sandy. I guess my thing is to now come back, and he's not even in office yet. They voted for him, the average person who thought that these people were going to do something for them. Hold the thought, 855-752-4842. Your thoughts. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams, and I love that music.
News from the Center, WRCE. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun.
It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulotz. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin says she'll give all of President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet nominations a fair shake, but won't compromise if somebody might hurt Wisconsin families, veterans, and businesses. Baldwin says she's worked with Trump's nominee for Transportation Secretary and former 7th District Congressman Sean Duffy before and would be inclined to support him. Baldwin did say she needs to hear from Trump's controversial pick to lead Health and Human Services, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and would question him about his positions on vaccines. All of Trump's nominees need to be confirmed by a Senate majority. A lawsuit against several Wisconsin television stations will continue. Eric Hovde, the Republican who ran for Senate against Tammy Baldwin, accuses several television stations of defamation for airing commercials by the Democratic political action group Win Senate PAC. Brown County Judge Donald Zudmulder heard arguments Thursday on a motion to dismiss the lawsuit. He gave no ruling but gave the attorneys more time to submit written arguments. While the suit was filed in northeastern Wisconsin, it named stations all over the state. The suit names the parent companies, Gray Media, Nexstar, Scripps Media, and Sinclair Broadcasting. These include WMTV in Madison, owned by Gray Media. Zudmulder anticipates issuing a ruling in the coming weeks. A projection from the Wisconsin Department of Administration found that the state's population is expected to decline over the next 25 years. According to the report, Department of Administration officials expect a population loss of about 200,000 people by 2050. Researchers evaluated decreasing fertility rates and an increasing average age of the state population. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
Not strong right now, Sandy. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about Elon Musk. And Sandy, I don't think people really have any concept about the depth of where this thing is getting ready to go. Now, yes, people, middle class America and rural America who felt like the Democrats left them behind and they chose to vote for Donald Trump as if Donald Trump was going to do something to improve their lives. They talked about Joe Biden, what the Democrats didn't do. Sandy, Donald Trump is going to basically allow Elon Musk to do and say some things while he's in the background. And so he's kind of abdicating and kind of like having a co-presidency.
Well, you know, I think that the issue here is not so much predicting what's going to happen, although it's pretty clear that Elon Musk, with the reins in his control, is going to exercise power in a very self-serving way. But I think the real issue is the danger posed by having people like Elon Musk in charge of government, people who are feathering their own nest, who are taking care of them and the people like them at the expense of the rest of the country. And that's what we're seeing. I mean, we're seeing already a bunch of policy initiatives which are really of peculiar value to a limited audience and not of great value to Tom, Dick, and Mary. So, you know, Elon Musk is openly flexing his muscles to do what it is that he finds interesting and desirable. I would call it a rogue. He's a rogue oligarch. He's on his own. He's got immense power based on his money, and he's now flexing it. He's, you know, threatening senators with unseating them based on just simply pouring lots of money into campaigns. He's demonstrating the very danger associated with too much money in politics. And we have the wealthiest man in the world trying to exercise his power in the United States, being the most powerful country in the world, but around the world as well.
855-752-4842. Your thoughts, and especially those of you who voted for Donald Trump, because you can't help, Sandy, but look at this and say that really many people voted for change because the eggs were too high. The cost of cereal was too high. The people were complaining that the food costs were too high. Do you think that's even going to be something that's even discussed when you got come on.
Well, it's being discussed by Donald Trump in the simple manner of saying he can't really do much about it. And so, you know, I know I talked about it, but it's going to be really hard to accomplish. So he's already trying to manage the public's expectation on his ability to deliver on some of the things that he beat the drum loudest about during the campaign. But, you know, I think the problem with oligarchy, and we watched it in Russia, we talk about it with disdain, how Russia and countries like Russia are run by the very wealthy in the country. And here in the United States, we've continually talked about how it is that money in politics, as reflected by the money from powerful political action committees and other groups that are funded and are putting their money into politics, can be a problem. But we've really rarely seen situations where individuals can flex their muscle and control government in the manner that Elon Musk is promising to do so. I mean, he's been given this capacity in this so-called DOGE department. It's not a department. It's just a private commission of Ramaswamy and Musk looking for problems in the federal government where they can cut, and therefore deciding or announcing their capacity to cut costs. But what they're really going to do is deal with programs that they personally find unattractive.
At the same time that they're making money.
Oh,
yeah,
immense money. I mean, the amount of money that they've made already in cryptocurrency is hard to imagine. Both the Trump family and Elon Musk have big stakes in cryptocurrency. And ever since announcing that it will be their intent to essentially eliminate most of the government regulation of cryptocurrency, the value of cryptocurrency has flown up.
Well, so
and this is not, this is just one kind of a source of revenue.
Well, I wonder how many people in this audience own a lot of cryptocurrency, and so not many. And so we're looking at these changes that are about to take place, Sandy. There are warnings over and over and over that Donald Trump and what Donald Trump is attempting to do is threatening, many in this nation who are really concerned, Sandy, about the impact that he's going to have economically on all of us.
Well, this is the problem with autocracy, where we're relying on individuals and not institutions to create policy for us. And it's, Adam Kunzinger, I saw him a couple of days ago, being interviewed about Donald Trump and the Republican Party. And Kunzinger said, Donald Trump constantly uses the term rhino to accuse people like Mitt Romney and himself about being Republicans in name only. But he said, the Republicans in name only are the MAGA Republicans who don't cling to any sort of institutional policy, any sort of ideological consistency that was the premise for the Republican Party, fiscal conservatism, etc. But rather, they're a group that label themselves conservative simply because they embrace what it is that Donald Trump tells them it is to be a conservative. And so, we find foreign policy that's now 180 degrees off what Republicans used to stand for with respect to public policy. We have free trade policy that used to be the benchmark of Republican policy, and now it's apparently tariffs. And we can see it in all different kinds of areas where the Republican Party has moved from what it was institutionally and ideologically to what it is that Donald Trump wants it to be. And that's really not an institutional party.
Hey, Sandy, one of the most tragic things about all of this is Donald Trump's not even in office yet. And yet you can see moves that are being made that are going to bring even more pain to the average American. And yet the average American can't do anything about it now. And so even though people have been flummoxed and taken advantage of and believed in this charlatan.
Well, I think the American public can do something about it. I think they can put pressure on their elected officials, their congressmen and their senators, to let them know that those congressmen and senator jobs could be at stake if they don't actively involve themselves in government in a manner to moderate some of these policies that are otherwise going to be implemented. Now, like I've indicated, there are a bunch of powers of the presidency that the incoming president will want to is trying to exercise and to try to expand the power of what we call the imperial presidency. But the public can do some things to let the elected representatives know that they should not give this incoming president a free hand.
So Sandy,
because it will damage their positions.
You're asking Tom, Dick, and Mary right now, who are struggling, as we've been talking about for the last several years, and who feels like they've been left behind, who are struggling to put food on the table, to focus on their elected officials. And to me, I think, which is a long shot, to get them to understand and mobilize and organize enough of Tom, Dick, and Mary's to send a message to our elected congressmen and senators that there is no other option. You're right.
Well, what else do we have? I mean, in a democracy, that's what we have, and that's what we need to have to save it. And so, you know, we have to mobilize. And I pray that this charismatic leader that I've talked about will emerge soon and will become a charismatic leader in opposition where there needs to be opposition, so that we can have a chance at much sounder policies. Because right now, the combination of Donald Trump, who lives a life of ad hominem attacks and sort of loves to live in controversy, he now has at his right arm the richest man in the world, who promises to put his wealth behind him. And so that's a very dangerous prospect.
Who is also now building relationships with some of the other wealthiest people on the earth. And they're not just talking about what they're going to do in America. They're talking about globally, Sandy. They're talking about controlling the world.
Yeah, we're watching the very wealthy figure out how it is they're going to divide up the world. I mean, Donald Trump has a simple concept of empires, and he wants to grant to the Russian Empire that which is the Russian Empire's. I think he'll do the same with China and the Chinese Empire. And there's the American Empire, and he's got an expansive view of that. He's still talking about Canada. Now Trudeau is resigning, and that immediately brought Trump to the point of saying, yes, we ought to merge Canada. You ought to become our 51st state. And he's got Greenland in his sights and Panama.
Well,
these are not just idle words that he's using. This is the way he's thinking.
Oh, so as you stated, 855-752-4842. As you stated, Sandy, there is only one way to combat it, and that is through bringing pressure on our congressmen and senators who are afraid of Donald Trump and who are afraid of Elon Musk. And the fact that our Congress people are afraid of people who didn't elect them, Sandy, is what I'm talking about. They should fear the people who elected them.
Well, that's what needs to happen, is that the people need to become the greater risk. The people's will needs to become a greater risk than Donald Trump's will. And Donald Trump, to date, has had this MAGA following that apparently follows his will, and he imposes that through them on legislators, at least the Republican legislators. But we need to free these legislators from the shackles of Donald Trump, and they need to instead begin to reflect what it is that the people need and want. And so, to me, unfortunately, or maybe happily if we find him, this requires a leader to come forth to help organize the people and organize their thinking.
All right, 855-752-4842. I don't want to let it go, because there's some other aspects of this. Elon Musk and what the threats that he presents to the people of this nation and the people of the earth. And we're going to continue the conversation. 855-752-4842. Where do you fit in this? The bullseye is on you and I. Don't think they don't see you, because they do. If you're not one of the oligarchs, you don't count.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
You know, Sandy, that's a beautiful song. It's been too I love it. It's apropos for where we are right now. And, you know, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. It means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy?
I mean, we should remember, you know, when Barack Obama selected this music in 2009, actually, the January, the country was in a bad spot. You know, we were in a deep recession. And so he picked music that was reflective, I think, of the situation, as well as maybe the hopefulness that he was trying to bring to the country in his campaign.
You're talking about bad spot. This is breaking news. Senate Majority Leader John Thune's count, if his count is correct, Pete Hegseth has the votes to run the Pentagon. Sandy. You know, I mean, this is nightmarish, and it's happening, and so the American people have no clue. Far not enough of us, Sandy, even know what's transpiring here.
Well, maybe, I mean, there are a bunch of people in America who do know what's happening but seem to favor it. And I think it's because they have attributed to government a very cynical view that it takes no talent and no experience to run the government, that the government is a plaything, that someone like Pete Hegseth, whose experience base has nothing to do with running a large number of people in an organized fashion. I mean, the Defense Department ultimately has jurisdiction over 2 million workers. Now, a million of those are in the military, but the rest of them, and the level of contracting and the things that the Defense Department does, there's just nothing in the Pete Hegseth resume that suggests that he has any capacity whatsoever to run a big organization. And, you know, that's what our government is it's a very big organization. It requires a capacity to manage people, to manage institutions, to manage functions. And here we have Pete Hegseth, who says, this is the biggest deployment of my life, and I promise I'll stop drinking while I am Secretary of Defense. You know, I happen to be, you know, I know people well who have drinking problems, and that's the kind of thing that someone says. You know, he says, I can stop drinking. It's not a problem.
Well, why hasn't
well,
he
then,
thus
if
far?
It's not a problem, well, yeah, we should stop.
Yes, yeah. Before you get this opportunity.
Right.
You know, I mean, Sandy, it's so surreal.
He'll probably have a breathalyzer each morning at the office, and he can prove to folks that he's kept his word. You know, I just think that, I mean, that's, you know, a bit of mirth, but maybe not. But Pete Hegseth is an example of this level of cynicism that we've come to in an administration who wants to essentially run the United States business, which is what our government is. It's a huge business, with people who lack anything in their background that suggests they have the capacity to do so.
He's not talking about running a local nonprofit.
Right.
Right.
Well,
I mean,
incidentally, Pete Hegseth ran a not-for-profit, and he was relieved of his duties because it was an unsuccessful operation. So, I think that this is proof that the people have not yet flexed their muscle with respect to the U.S. senators. If the U.S. Senate believes that it's going to be an acceptable action for them to confirm the nomination of someone like Pete Hegseth.
All right, let's go to the phone line. CJ, you're up. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. The only thing the voters needed was the record of the Biden administration.
This has nothing to do with Joe Biden, CJ. What does this have to do with Elon Musk and what Elon Musk is getting ready to do? What does that have to do with Joe Biden? And what does the fact that the people that Donald Trump and senators think that Pete Hegseth is the guy to run. What does that have to do with Joe Biden? Nothing.
That's the way Justin Trudeau is going to cut and run, the way Joe Biden did.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness, CJ. I mean, what, do you really think that that Trudeau is cutting and running because Donald Trump has been elected? I mean, Trudeau and the Canadian political process has a life of its own. And Justin Trudeau has become increasingly controversial. He's been head of Canada for 10 years. Now, there's a life cycle that leaders follow, and 10 years is a very long period of management.
You don't want to hear me talk. You want to talk over
No,
me?
We don't want to hear talk
CJ,
nonsense.
We'd like to hear you talk, but every time you call, you do this. You want to refer back to the fact that Trump beat Biden in the election. Well, that's old news. Now what we're talking about is what's going to happen going forward in the Biden administration, in the Trump administration, and is it a problem? And do you think it's a problem that Elon Musk has the level of influence that he's got? Do you think that's a problem?
You know, you give other callers a lot more leeway.
Yeah, because they get a lot more leeway because they follow the conversation that we are having. And they don't change the conversation like you like to and you are wanting to do. 855-752-4842 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. Lots more to talk about.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Changes coming to Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg announcing they are getting rid of fact checkers and moving the company's trust and safety team from California to Texas to remove concern that, quote, biased employees are over-censoring content. The nation bidding farewell to former President Jimmy Carter, who will lie in state in Washington later tonight. ABC Steve Osunsami is in Atlanta.
He will be flown to D.C. today for a public visitation that will take place at the U.S. Capitol. Then the state funeral is Thursday, where President Biden will deliver a eulogy, and we expect every living president to be in attendance. Then he'll be flown home for private burial at his home.
That will take place in Plains, Georgia. Red flag warnings in effect through parts of Southern California as authorities warn of dangerous fire conditions brought on by Santa Ana winds. 9 deaths and tens of thousands of power outages, the toll from this week's big snowstorm affecting much of the country. This is ABC News.